This is Austin St. John, Jason, the original Red Ranger, and you are listening to the Nerdcast.
I have
you, me.
I have the power.
I can unmute you.
It's as Adam so dubbed it last week, triple 11s, but it's actually only triple ones as we hit episode 111 for the Nerdcast.
I'm gonna stand by the triple 11. Don't you worry about me.
Yeah. Hey, if you want to say we've done that many episodes, let's go for it. But I don't think we're quite that far yet. Someday in the near future, and by near future, I mean not so near future.
I feel like you got to go with the Lord of the Rings reference. It's our 11th.
Oh, okay. 11th,
yeah, that's a good one.
So anyways, it's the Nerdcast. You hear the crowd noises, live episode, recording in front of a studio audience. Of course, no sound.
Or, sorry, 11th first.
11th no. first.
Is that what it is? 11th
no,
first?
It's 11th. That's
no,
perfect.
It's 11th.
Okay, let's Google it. Google it.
Anyways.
I'm on it.
She's on it.
So for the rest of y'all,
you can't actually use Google, so eventually she'll make one of us look it up.
Yeah.
So, shut up.
For the rest of y'all that have joined us for a podcast, welcome to the Nerdcast. If you can't tell already, Adam, Aaron, Iggy, Tyler, all here for, as we mentioned, 111th episode. As I say it out loud, like, guys, like, it's still
hooray.
Recorded this, and we've actually recorded more than 111 times because the season two that so mysteriously disappeared, I'd say we had about another six or seven episodes that never actually aired. So we've done this pretty close to 120 times already. I mean, if you count movie night episodes, all that stuff, over 125 times, like, crazy.
It makes sense, seeing as how we're like, I mean, why we're so good at this already. And now,
yeah,
maybe not. I'm going to take back everything I just said.
I honestly, now that you say that, I actually kind of feel bad because you feel like we would be better at this by now.
True. Good point. Point well taken. Maybe we should retract that. But guys, I think we've only done this 11 times, but we put 100 in front of it just to make us sound more professional.
Well, it's season one, you know, that's how you do those numbers. Like,
that's right. But you wanted us to get rid of seasons.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, in like TV, like the first season is episode 101.
You know? So we should call it 1.11. Because that's how they're doing it.
The first 100 episodes were beta testing. It was the beta.
That was the test build. We're now in our first actual official version.
We're at full release here for 2016. So Nerdcast, a lot of exciting things going on. I'm going to touch on it first.
What are some of those exciting things, Iggy?
I'm going to touch on one of them first that I know Tyler and Adam may not be too crazy about. But for Project Nerd being headquartered in Denver, Colorado, appropriate. Also considering that it is the most watched thing every year on television. The Super Bowl did take place last weekend. Congratulations.
Not every year. Most years, though.
How many years running? It's been the number one most viewed program.
The World Cup draws more viewers.
Sorry. In the United States. In the United States.
Okay. Now we're talking. Okay.
Let me clarify. I'm there for you with the World Cup. Excited about that stuff, too. And, of course, the Olympics coming up. There's some interesting talk about that if we do talk more about sports and diseases and everything else Brazil has to offer right now. But the big thing, of course, said over 120 million people tuned in this year for the Super Bowl. Denver, Carolina was it was destructive on defense, both sides of the ball. The defense was just amazing, I guess is the best way to put it. And Von Miller and my man, DeMarcus Ware, showing up and taking care of business. So Denver Broncos, congratulations. But the big thing to point out is we have the Grammys coming up, the Oscars, you know, premieres and seasons. It's one thing we kind of touched on loosely that I did want to make point out to is, man, that's a lot of people watching one thing. And unfortunately, the commercials just don't do it anymore. They just don't have the same feel they had, it seemed like, so many years ago.
It was a little weak. It was a little weak this year, yeah.
So like, I know
Puppy Monkey Baby is like blowing up. It's
so
creepy.
Puppy Monkey Baby is one of the lowest rated when you actually look at all those sites that let people vote on commercials or rate or comment on it. But it is also, according to experts, was the most successful and most important commercial of the Super Bowl because it has been the most viral and most discussed commercial from the Super Bowl. And so it definitely was successful in the fact that Mountain Dew is definitely getting their money's worth for it.
Yeah, what is it? No publicity is bad publicity, right?
Exactly.
People are talking about Mountain Dew.
Exactly. Yeah. On top of
one of those things where, like, I don't feel like the commercials have really killed it for a while. There's been some decent ones, but nothing amazing. I honestly tune in sometimes for the game, but they haven't been great games the last 2 years. It's for the movie. I mean, obviously us, but it's the movie trailers. Like, you're going to get those TV spots that you haven't seen before, which are always cool.
Which I feel like this Civil War, Captain America Civil War trailer was better than the first one we got. The Apocalypse trailer, every mutant they showed was doing something. Like, it wasn't, they weren't just on screen. They were using their powers or showing some skills. Olivia Munn flipping in a Psylocke like that, I was like, I'm down for this. And then, of course, even like you mentioned, the Jason Bourne trailer looked intense.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I'm really excited about Jon Favreau's Jungle Book now. Like, the teaser trailer was okay. This trailer's like, I really want to see that now.
Yeah, it looks exciting and looks fun. But yeah, there was tons of great trailers. And then piggybacking on that, the Turkish Airline ads for Fly to Gotham and Fly to Metropolis that ended up airing at the end of the game, they put them online earlier that day. We got them up on Monday. So if you go over to Project Nerd, you can check out those trailers from the Monday's post. But pretty fun to have Bruce Wayne from Wayne Enterprise and then Lex Luthor from LexCorp talking about flying to those cities.
Yeah. Amazing.
She just signaled me to shut up so she could say, yeah, amazing, by the way.
But seriously, did you guys see Ben Affleck playing Bruce Wayne? Did you see that?
How did I know?
Oh,
That's never going to be his issue. Hey, Ben,
so
play
good.
A rich white guy. Okay, oh. Cool. Yeah, he can manage that.
No.
Not surprising.
Batman, too. Did you see his muscles? They're big.
Oh.
He's going to be able to handle it. He's so
good. He probably will be able to, but I don't.
Michael Keaton could do it.
That's a valuable point.
Ben Affleck is twice.
Here's the problem, Aaron.
The man.
Whoa.
Wait, Tyler. Whoa. Wait. Here's the first problem before I even let Tyler go off on you for that. And anytime you've brought up Ben Affleck as Batman, not one of us three have argued you for that. We're worried about the movie as a whole. About Jesse Eisenberg.
I'm not trying to say the movie's going to be amazing. I just said, did you guys see him as Bruce Wayne?
Hold on.
Because it was amazing.
If I'm worried about any casting more than anything else, it's Jesse Eisenberg as potentially Lex Luthor is what we've been led to believe, which is, I mean, just the look even, but the way he's acting, everything about it is just a sore spot in that whole trailer. Henry Cavill is a great example of this cast. I think he's a fantastic Superman and Clark Kent. But that didn't make Man of Steel successful, and it doesn't give me any more higher hopes for Batman versus Superman here. All right, Tyler, go at her.
You back the fuck off, Michael Keaton. He is a national treasure. He's Batman. He's fucking Beetlejuice.
He's Birdman now.
Birdman.
He's Mr. Mom.
I loved
that movie.
Classic.
he's clones 1, 2, and 3, and the original.
She touched my peppy, Steve.
She touched my peppy, Steve.
I like pizza.
You make a copy of a copy, how it's not quite
as good as the original.
Yeah.
Shave him at night while he sleeps. Don't worry. He can't hurt himself.
All I'm saying is, say what you will about Ben Affleck as Batman. You back the fuck off Michael Keaton.
Those are some of the best Batman movies
George Clooney is the one that you want to make fun of as
the problem is like making fun of George Clooney just makes you seem like less of a man because he is literally the pinnacle of the modern man.
Well, we've talked about it on every podcast. They're like, who do we need to play? Insert anything here. Oh, George Clooney can do that. Like, just insert anything here. And he's believable. Believe him as the astronaut. Believe him as a politician. Believe him as the escaped prisoner, convict. You can believe him.
No, he's George Clooney. He's a man among men. It's like John Hamm is a really good actor and did a really good job of like playing Don Draper. George Clooney literally could just walk in and be himself, and he's like a real-life Don Draper.
I buy that.
He's just winning at life.
Okay, so back to Michael Keaton. My point was that, like, Ben Affleck at least looks the part. Like, he's a huge person. I think Ben Affleck, if Batman were real, he would be a ginormous, huge hunk of man meat. Just saying. Second of all, according to...
This didn't get offensive at all.
I'm being a little, maybe a little sexist. I don't know. According to IMDb, Lex Luthor is played by Jesse Eisenberg. So...
Well, I said, we've been 100%. They're not hiding that. We've been 100% led to believe it. He's been presented as Lex Luthor. He's been, before they even released trailers, we were told he's going to be Lex Luthor. They didn't just say he's going to be some character. And in the commercial, we even mentioned he's portraying this Lex Luthor. However, there are rumors and there are fan rumors and their beliefs that since you have an older Batman and you're playing more with Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns kind of in this story, you would be further along with Lex Luthor, that this is possibly Lex Luthor Jr., which to me would make more sense. And there's been a rumor, again, this is a fan rumor, and this one, though, has more, I think, more ground than anything else about it, is that towards the end of the movie, you're supposed to get a surprise that the actual Lex Luthor shows up and is set up for the sequel, and that you find out, oh, this is little Lex Luthor, this is his son. So I'm kind of hoping
That sounds like an awful lot of wishful thinking.
That's what I said. I'm hoping for it. But I feel like at the end of the day, that Eisenberg was cast as Luther. They're like, same thing with, I'm sorry, what's it? Who was it? Like, shave your head. No, I'm not going to do it. How am I dropping his name right now? He played Lex Luthor in the original Superman movie.
Gene Hackman?
Thank you. Gene Hackman. That's why I said, how am I dropping his name right now? Yeah, he didn't want to shave his head. So they're like, okay, you're no shaved head. So maybe Eisenberg's doing the same thing. I don't know. But I don't know.
I'm with you. I'm with you on the casting decisions recently. Like, I like almost all the casting decisions. You can even go back to Superman Returns. I like Brandon Routh as Clark Kent / Superman. It's just a bad movie. Like, yeah. And I don't know if we're getting anything different here. I don't mind Eisenberg. Certainly don't mind him as Luther Jr., maybe not Lex Luthor, but Luther Jr. I'm totally okay with that. And I think he's fine for kind of that new world that they're telling. I suppose.
And in the comics, you never really see Luther Jr. become a man and empower of anything. He is just a spoiled little kid at some points in some stories. In most stories, he's not even there. But I agree. And Ralph to Cavill is probably a great example of what Aaron's trying to outline for Ben Affleck, too. Like, yeah, Brandon Ralph, he's doing great on the CW shows right now. He's fun in some of the movies I've seen him in, and he was a good Superman. But now you move to Henry Cavill, who is, yeah, if you were to define what a Superman's body would probably look like, you're probably going to take Cavill's body over Brandon Ralph's body in those past two movies.
And he does a great job of acting as Superman.
Which
and
one?
Nobody's Henry Cavill.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think he's fine.
Nobody's going to say otherwise.
No.
So, okay. Whew. Thought I was going to get some.
No, Warner Brothers done a great job casting. We talked about it too when
they just have horrible movies.
We saw Margot Robbie coming in.
I didn't think that Superman movie was that bad.
No, it's not. I don't think it's terrible either, but it's nothing compared to some of the other comic movies we've seen.
I know. We've just had such high standards. I mean, like, go back 20 years ago. And when there were just a handful of comic book movies, Nobody was getting
comic book accurate,
but they weren't.
So you're saying going back to the original Superman and Batman movies?
Like, yeah, and we loved them because we were children and that was all there was.
Because they were amazing movies.
They weren't just like the comics though. They took a lot of liberties. They were, you know,
but they made a good movie where nobody destroyed half a city and everybody was okay with it.
You can take a lot of liberties. You can write your own story. You can take a lot of liberties. You can mix and
match. That's true. You're right. I absolutely love those movies.
And still be true to the characters. Man of Steel's just not true to any of the characters whatsoever. Yeah.
No, I think at this point you can bring up the spoiler. The way he takes down Zod at the end is completely not Superman. That is not the way Superman would handle that. And in so many ways, I enjoy that because he has that conflict and you see it be a conflict for him and he hates that moment and those things happen. But at the same time, as Tyler's pointing out, that's not true to anything we've seen from Superman. And it's really important to say follow a comic, but how many different stories of Batman and Superman have there been? How many are running monthly still of both of those characters?
It's not even like the Zod thing is the icing on the cake, but like the wholesale destruction, the way his dad dies, the fact that everyone and their fucking dog has to know that Clark Kent equals Superman by the end of the movie.
Except the American government.
I mean, Lois Lane figures it out in the first 20 minutes with like a couple phone calls and a plane ticket.
Right. Like, in a montage. It's not even like fully fleshed out. It's an actual montage on how she figures this out.
Okay. But it was still enjoyable. And I will say that one of the things that I hated the most about the movie is that they're in the middle of Kansas and there's a 7-Eleven there. And that's just a lie. It's not true. I lived
the struggle is real in Kansas
for several years and there were no 7-Elevens there. So that was bullshit. That was a little bit.
If you want to see something great about Man of Steel, go watch the Honest trailer for it. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
It is perfect.
And it mentions the 7-Eleven, the IHOP, as they fight in front of this business and this business and then back in front of this business and this business. But anyways, a lot of great trailers, as we were talking about before we started with commercials, then we got lost on trailers, and then we got lost specifically on Batman and Superman, and of course what Warner Brothers is doing to their own company, DC. But a number of other great trailers pointed out. Jungle Book looked awesome. Independence Day, I don't know why I'm so excited for this movie. I shouldn't be as excited as I am, but it looks so fun. I'm so ready for this. And a number of other ones, Deadpool, taking some, shots at the football players. But the one thing I want to say, I put it on Facebook. No, anybody knows this as we're watching the trailers from the Super Bowl. And it's crazy. We're going to have six mainstream comic book movies this year. And the two best ones might actually come from Fox. How do you feel about that? You think, pun intended, this is the sign that the apocalypse is
occurring. I don't know. Civil War looks really good.
I don't know. I think they're overdoing it. I'm hoping they can do it, but I'm worried about that one. I have not been sold by the trailers. I'm being sold everything, not only the trailers, but everything that is coming out about Deadpool at this point has said, nope, it's exactly what we wanted it to be. And then the more you see about X-Men Apocalypse, and they've done it. They've steered that franchise back in the right direction in the past two movies. And I feel like we're going to hit a climactic point here and we're going to see a really, really good movie because you get Apocalypse and his Four Horsemen. I mean, Tyler?
I'm excited about it. If you want to say one that the trailer hasn't sold me on, it's been the Apocalypse movie. I don't know how I feel about that one yet.
Well, we haven't seen too much plot. I'll give you that. We haven't seen a whole lot of plot, but I'm banking on it. And honestly, we haven't seen anything for Doctor Strange yet, which we know the cast already is something to be excited about. And we've seen where Marvel has not hit the nail right on the head the past few times on their traditional comic book movies. They're still winning on stuff like Guardians of the Galaxy, the stuff that isn't the traditional style, which Doctor Strange will fall into, your non-Superman, Captain America, X-Men type stuff. So you could have a lot of success there. And I don't know. You got a lot of things going. It's exciting. I think all six.
So what are your six? We've got Civil War, Doctor Strange, Batman versus Superman, Apocalypse, Deadpool,
Suicide Squad,
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh yeah. Well, I didn't even think about that,
that trailer looks like a train wreck. Like,
well, as we talked about last time, anytime Michael Bay is in the production studio and they're working on the After Effects and he's like that squid looking guy. No, his name's Krang. If you're producing the movie, know something about the characters. That right there was the biggest red flag. Although Stephen Mills, Casey Jones, hopefully will be some sort of salvation.
Yeah.
Good character, bad movie.
There we go. We're talking about it. So a lot of great trailers. We posted the Turkish Airlines videos on Monday. Adam actually posted a number of those trailers in one single post Tuesday morning. I think it's just titled Super Bowl trailers or whatever. So Google search Super or don't Google search Super Bowl because you'll find 9 million things. But Project Nerds search bar at the top, hit up Super Bowl, and you can find it pretty quickly. But a lot of those shared. The one thing before we got lost on movie trailers, outside of movie trailers, did we all watch the game?
Yeah.
It was on.
Okay. So enough that you guys could probably say, I wanted to see what, did anybody have a favorite commercial?
I have one. Because I watched it.
Go ahead.
Because hold on, I got to say, go Broncos. Holy crap, I don't give a crap about sports, as you know from listening to the podcast for years now. I never chime in when these guys
So talk what was your favorite sports. Commercial?
No, I got to say this. These guys talk about sports all the time, and I never have a clue, and I don't care. But the Broncos won, and I am so excited. Okay. Whew. With that
I
said.
I thought you didn't care.
Shut the I really like the Broncos, and I like the Avalanche.
Since when? Like a year ago?
Nope, since I was a baby. I've always liked the Broncos, and I've always cared about the Broncos, and I've always followed the Broncos.
Avalanche are going down at the end of the month.
And I've always liked the Avs. I just don't talk about it a lot, and I don't, like, I'm not an avid sports fan. I don't care necessarily a whole lot, but it made me really super excited when the Broncos won.
I'm super confused by everything that's going on right now.
I know you don't understand because you bleed sports and you're super
Okay. Hey.
You don't get in between us.
What was your favorite commercial?
Me and Tyler, okay?
Can we move on to your favorite commercial? What was your favorite commercial then, Aaron?
Hold on. Can you guys guess what it was?
The wiener dog one?
Oh my gosh, that was so cute. But no, it was one with different wieners. Lots of them. I didn't. Okay. I don't know why I said that.
We're going to have to clarify.
It's got to be Ryantown.
Yep.
Everyone's oh, yeah.
I want to move to Ryantown.
Yeah, you do.
That was a pretty good one. But that one was hard to, like, when I think back at the commercials, I didn't really consider that a Super Bowl one because it had been online, like, always.
Apparently, which but is something I didn't that's see
happening.
It before then.
That's happening more and more where Super Bowl commercials
yeah.
have been shared.
All right, I haven't seen it before then.
Yeah, that one's a pretty good one. Adam, Tyler, you guys had one? Anything that popped out to you?
No. It was a pretty meh year in terms of the commercials. And after the first little bit, I didn't even really continue paying attention to them because I was like, there's nothing, anything that I knew I wanted to see, like you said, was already out. Like so many of them you could go find online if you really wanted to. And I don't know. I didn't have any.
Yeah, I was fairly indifferent. I didn't hate the Amazon Echo one with Alec Baldwin and Dan Marino.
That was fun.
I was really pumped. I was on board from the beginning. I was ready to buy some super cool, stylish, zany socks from from Christopher Walken, and then it turned out to be a shitty car commercial, and I was very upset with that.
Yeah, I definitely thought that was going to be like a sock of the month club.
Or yeah, it was going to be like it was going to be like it was going to be like
was peddling.
It was going to be like MeUndies, but for stylish socks, and then it turned out to be a shitty car commercial. There were a lot of commercials I didn't like.
Yeah, there was tons I didn't like. I would say I enjoyed the obviously the Ryan Reynolds one. The wiener dog one was cute, especially for my kids to be right here and to point that out to them. I didn't necessarily like it, but I felt it was clever. The continuous Prius ones with the car chase, I felt it was pretty clever and what they were trying to do there, although I didn't find it entertaining enough to say, hey, that was great. And I did enjoy, I agree. I think my favorite one of them, one of my favorites is the Amazon one. And it's great just because of the people who are in it and some of the back and forth between Baldwin and Marino were pretty good. One thing I didn't want to point out is we talk about how the commercials have gotten weaker over the past, you know, how many years. The most successful and probably the funniest ones have been the fan submitted ones for Doritos. And there was the sonogram one where he brought the Doritos to the sonogram and he's like moving it around and the kid like pops out like when she throws the Dorito. That was pretty good. But I look back at the past few years and the ones that always pop out to me are the Doritos. One in particular was that last year or 2 years ago, I didn't watch the Super Bowl the past couple of years, but there was, it got online was the Mance one. This is how you get Mance. And all the men were in the cabinets and under the, you know, in the kitchen, like they were ants or something. And they were trying to grab the Doritos and stuff. So I don't know, pretty clever ones.
I don't know. I feel like the last couple of years, I more remember the ones that are either like just creepy and not good or that are like obnoxiously like the America ones have become significantly more popular the last couple of years. Like the people who make the truck liners and the Quicken mortgage loans one was one of the most like uncomfortable capitalism Reagan-esque America's great commercials like I've ever seen. Like watching it was actually uncomfortable to see.
What was it? Yeah, it was two or three years ago when, what was it? That one actor like gave this long speech about how we're not lazy and all this stuff for the car. And it was like a Buick or Cadillac. It was the Cadillac one. And it was like this terrible speech. It was like that, like slammed like over half the country and stuff. And it was like, oh, that was not motivational.
Yeah. And I don't know. And Puppy Monkey Baby was just creepy.
Yeah, it was. But again, super successful. It did exactly what they needed to do. They said, besides that being the most successful commercial, the other huge thing that came from the weekend, which wasn't even solicited or paid for up front, was Peyton Manning's double Budweiser drop, which was estimated value of advertising for Budweiser of over $13 million for him saying Budweiser twice because of the way it went viral and everybody was talking about it. People are still talking about it, but it was kind of crazy that to hear afterwards that that him and them were both like, no, nobody solicited, nobody paid for it. However, Peyton does own a share in a distribution company that works with Anheuser-Busch, and he is a savvy businessman. You know, Papa John did give him a kiss on the cheek after the Super Bowl as a thank you, you know. So, I don't know. So, feel free to tell us. I know many of y'all watch Super Bowl. Some of y'all might have avoided it. Feel free to tell us what you do instead, whether it's the Puppy Bowl, the whatever other things you can do. I know we had a group of friends get together that did the Not Your Super Bowl party or something like that and watched a bunch of, like, geeky stuff and hung out and did snacks just like if it was a Super Bowl party. So, feel free to share with us what you did. Or, of course, if you did watch it, what were some of your favorite commercials and trailers? We'll try not to spend the whole entire episode on this, but agreed. Commercials going downhill, but a lot of great movie trailers. And one more time, I'll say it. You can find those over on Project Nerd as Adam. Project Nerd, the Nerdcast very own Adam, shared those over on the website earlier this week. So good talk. With that, we have a million things going on in the comic book world, including our own stuff. But you guys also mentioned before we started recording this week, a new book came out that y'all were excited for. So I'll let you dive into that.
Adam can talk about the book. It's because he's actually started it. I've been busy, obviously, on this work trip, but I'm going to start it tonight.
Work trips are lame, yeah. So Pierce Brown's third novel, The End of the Red Rising Trilogy, came out today. We're recording on Tuesday, just so everybody knows. Came out today. Or Tuesday, if you're listening to us Friday, it's called Morningstar. And so it's going to be the conclusion of the Darrow storyline. I don't know if Pierce Brown plans to continue this world that he's created and talking about it. Kind of depends on how this book ends, I guess. So I'm about a quarter of the way through it. If you haven't read the first couple books, definitely do it. Red Rising and Golden Sun. Golden Sun kind of ends on a what the hell. Kind of your typical, your typical cliffhanger.
It ends on your second chapter. I mean, your second
installment.
Your second installment of the trilogy style. Like,
yeah,
it's bad. It's throw the book at the wall kind of bad ending. So
right, I can't believe I have to wait a year to find out what happens next. Yeah. Kind of super pissed off.
Especially after the first one did such a good job of telling one complete story. Wrapping it up really nicely, but still setting the stage for further books. And the second book's like, no, fuck that. Like, we're just cutting it off right here.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. And so the 25% I've gotten through so far does a really good job of figuring that out. And they don't really pull any punches in that first chapter. Is just like, hey, I remember how everything was screwed. Yeah. Screwed. That's where we're at still. And so, I mean, needless to say, if you've heard us talk about it the past couple of years, this series, we really enjoy it. And from what I can tell, this book's not going to be anything different.
We have a handful of copies of that first one floating around thanks to C2E2. So I think a few of us grabbed those free copies, mainly because everybody grab this copy. If you go over there and get just one book, get this one. So,
and then you've all proceeded to not read it.
Well, I know I had a copy that actually Aaron was supposed to take and read, and then she loaned it out to somebody who actually reviewed it for the site, so I won't complain too much. But I've never seen that book again. So to be honest, it's nowhere.
Well, I mean, to be fair,
I'll bring you my review
copy. They kept it.
Right. I'll bring you my review copy next month at C2E2.
Okay.
You can have it 2 years later and finally catch up.
I can't promise that I'll get straight to it. Okay. All right. So books, obviously, comic books. We just put together our full 2016 release slate schedule for Project Nerd Publishing. Something that I guess I'm going to have to tell you guys afterwards, after we get done recording, because I wanted to drop it before we started, there's something in the works that I'm really hopeful for. And, but we have a number of great titles, a few new things to announce too with it, but, physical copies in our hands. As you guys that are looking at me on the video can see all this packaging and boxing behind us. We shared a picture of it on the Project Nerd publishing page. Tobacco Stain Mountain Goat, That Bulletproof Kid, getting those copies out. Baron, still on progress for March release. Clock Puncher, which we'll do a Kickstarter in March for, which will be released in April. So we'll have most of it done by the time the Kickstarter rolls in. That could have been a bad word there. So
easy for you to say.
Easy. And then, of course, another one that I'm super excited about that's kind of flying under the radar and all this, which we will send to print after we get done with Project Cosplay here in a couple weeks, is Radiation Day. So Brett Jones and Chris Yarbrough, a couple Kansas City guys, have had a black and white version of three issues out of it for a couple years. We set up at Free Comic Book Day at Elite Comics a couple years ago. Chris set up right next to us. Adam, I know you were there. I don't know if you were there, Tyler, for that. And yeah, so Adam was there. I think Adam, Bob, and Aaron. And oh, yeah, and George, Georgie.
George went with us. Yeah, man.
George was Tyler's replacement for the day. So it was a little bit more depressing than normal.
The only person who's allowed to replace me is Dr. Laura.
Okay. She didn't go to that one, but she's replaced.
No, she's my official replacement.
Okay. Okay. Perfect.
I mean, she's the less awesome version of me, but she's still better than the rest of you.
So. Okay. So Brett set up right next to us, just one little table, had this awesome comic for Radiation Day. We interviewed him. I actually reviewed that comic, so you can see the original review over on Project Nerd from, I think, back in 2014, and really liked it. Got to know those guys, and they wanted to do it in color. And so we decided, hey, let's release this under Project Nerd Publishing in full Technicolor, as we're saying. And I can tell you, it's just a fun comic. It's a post-apocalyptic buddy cop style comic, which, I mean, if that doesn't sell you right there, then you're dead. Like, you obviously don't have blood flowing through you. But it's something to be excited for, and that will also be sneaking out. And then, of course, the Blue Moon trade paperback, which, as Aaron has literally judged this book by the cover, but the rest of us have judged by the pages inside. Blue Moon is absolutely beautiful and stunning. And we have a number of these things that are now available digitally and physical over to websites to start getting reviews, so we start sharing with those. So you're not just hearing my opinion for the 900th time on it. You're going to start hearing other people's opinions on it.
I don't think there's anything wrong with me judging that book by its cover. That book's cover is beautiful.
It is. It is. I want to, and I told him I want to print it in like hardcover, like special edition. And he's that sounds awesome.
Poster. Like, I remember when you first sent us all the artwork for that, and I was like, oh, look at this pretty piece of art. Oh, wait, that's a cover for a graphic novel? Wow.
That's why she never read it, because she's like, why is Ziggy sharing artwork with us? So, but a lot going on there in comic book world. Of course, some big titles out this week. So go back to Wednesday. So we made a reference to a post on Monday, Tuesday, now Wednesday, Matt's weekly comic book release article, which gets a lot of attention. And he does a great job of promoting it on Twitter. So thank you, Matt. But he gets a lot of attention, too, from creators and artists and stuff as well who are putting out these books. But he had eight titles. He usually outlines 3 to 4 titles and then lists some other things from just our screener partners, our publishing partners. So the ones that we are press partners with. And he's like, there's just 8 titles. I had to shorten the list down even from that. And one big title that comes out Wednesday that I like, that I've been paying attention to, is the new James Bond series from Dynamite, which has been, pardon my pun, Dynamite. Adam Lee did.
Yes.
He was going to say it if I didn't. So, but they're on issue number 4. So you can go back and probably still find all 4 issues in comic book stores, definitely online. But it's been spot on. The series is very, very Mendez, Daniel Craig, Bond style on paper. It's fantastic. So I definitely encourage you guys to check that one out.
That's what I was going to ask. You said it was very spot on. I wanted to know which spot are we on?
Mendez and Craig, which to me,
perfect,
is one of the best combos we've seen in the Bond universe today.
So you're saying more like, almost like Ian Fleming-esque.
Yes, very much so. So
right, yeah. I think that combination lends much more to a comic book than like the Timothy Dalton movie.
Yes, you're getting a lot more build up, a lot of suspense, a lot of dialogue, a lot of, you know, not just the straight let's throw out tech and in action there. But very good series. So I definitely encourage you to check it out, along, of course, with your new books this week. So pick up the comics, pick up the books, and while you're doing it, head on over to pnpublishing.storenv.com to see what we have available for you, because there's 6 things you can get and get pretty much immediately now, or at least we'll ship it pretty much immediately. Depending on where you are in the world, it might take a little bit of time. So other news, movie industry booming. We talked a little bit about trailers. So Tyler, you brought it up last week, and I still failed to go in and update my fantasy movie.
So I just want to give a shout out to Anne and Jared for holding down the fort and at least giving it a try, doing good work. They're still in the hunt. Everyone else seems to have quit playing the game. Adam still gave it a try this week.
No. I've put in my lineup. I just missed those sweet, sweet, sweet Force Awakens dollars.
Yeah.
For a couple weeks to go off.
So Adam's still making an effort. Everyone else seems to have quit playing. I think Iggy still has Star Wars in his lineup from literally 2 months ago.
Star Wars still finished number 4 at the box office this weekend. It's not a bad
thing. Yeah, but you have to take the minus for your other 7 empty screens, so you actually...
Oh, is that the only thing I have, is what you're saying? Okay.
Yes, that's the only theater you have. Yeah. You ended up with $0, probably negative dollars, but they don't take any away from your season total.
Well, that's nice of them.
So you and Aaron both finished with $0, so that's a
hooray!
Thing.
I've got to fix something if I'm being
lost. Which is actually, I think, Saturday, like...
I'm going to
Sarah,
fix it right now.
Sarah has no...
jumped in with Aaron.
I don't know. Sarah hasn't played all this season, and yet she got the same score with you guys did with no movies on her slate. So,
all right. So big question. You have Deadpool, which would take up what, about 81% of your budget to put it on screen. Do you try to double or triple up on?
I think you got to hang in there with Kung Fu Panda. You got to stick with the kid, G-rated, definitely going to make the money thing. So,
I think Deadpool gets it. I think he gets it big this weekend. All the innuendo intended there as well, because it's Deadpool.
All right. I like it.
I think it'll have a huge opening. I just don't know. It'll have a huge opening for a rated R movie. It won't have a huge opening for... I think the original, like the estimates right now, and they'll get closer, but I think the estimates right now are like $81 million for the weekend, which is awesome for a rated R movie. It's going to win the weekend in a walk, but for the money, I don't know if it's worth
it. To put that much money in there? When I'm looking at it, I'll be candid right now, because there's no chance for me to win this season anyways. It took me 2 seconds to really set, because I'm like, I can go 4 Kung Fu Panda 2s, 3 Star Wars, and a Hail Caesar. Walk out with $2 million extra on my slate. Like, I think that's a good stack. Maybe adjust a few things, but I mean, Star Wars and Hail Caesar, I mean, that's 1, 2, 3 this past weekend. Even with Deadpool going to number 1, if you just bump those to 2, 3, 4, you're still looking at, you know, top movies right there. And it's still very likely Zoolander will jump in there and maybe make one of those or 2 of those drop lower, but big possibility those 3 will be in the top 5. And like I said, Kung Fu Panda will probably take the number 2 spot, even over Zoolander and How to Be Single.
I don't know. I'd put a bunch of How to Be Single on there, and then we'll see what happens.
You also got to remember it is a 4-day movie weekend, so not just for Fantasy Movie League, but for those of you going to see movies, if you get Monday off, enjoy it. Take that extra day to go check out some movies or go buy Project Nerd Publishing comics. But
what's Monday?
It wouldn't be a bad idea. It wouldn't be a bad idea to throw a little bit of money at the choice.
Yeah,
because you know what makes money. Movies based on stories by Nicholas Sparks.
Oh yeah. So it's President's Day. You're probably off Monday.
You're probably not off Monday. Colleges don't get President's Day.
Really?
Man.
Really? Mm-mm. All right. Sorry, bro. Sorry, bro. Hi.
It's all right. I work part-time.
That's whatever.
Doesn't matter.
So it is a 4-day weekend at the box office, 3-day weekend for most, and then of course a 4-day weekend for military, with it being President's Day. So enjoy your Monday off for those of you that do get it. Those of you that don't, enjoy the less traffic on the roads, both in the morning and the afternoon. So win-win for everybody there. But if you do have it off, like I said, yeah, take advantage of that time. Go check it out, because it is one of those holidays to where not everybody's off. So it's one of those holidays that if you get it, like, go do something with it, because you don't have to compete with everybody else, you know? like Memorial Day and Labor Day, where it's like everybody and their mom, except for retail, is off, and you got to compete with everybody to go do whatever's cool to do those weekends, including Dragon Con. So I think I agree, Tyler. I think Deadpool's probably your number one finisher. I think Kung Fu Panda is going to come in a strong second. And Kel Caesar and Star Wars can hang around, but you do bring up a good point with the choice. And then, of course, How to Be Single has got some buzz. And Zoolander 2, as much as I think it's going to get hurt by Deadpool, I think it still can pull in some money, especially from that nostalgia group.
I don't think Kung Fu Panda is second. I think Zoolander or How to Be Single might battle it out for second and third. I don't think there's any doubt that Deadpool. I don't think there's any doubt that Deadpool wins the weekend in a walk. It's just one of those things where a rated R movie just can't put up those weekend numbers like a PG or a G movie can, or even a PG-13.
Although people are fighting for it to let kids into this or to get a PG-13 cut of it. So it's it should be interesting. Like we brought up earlier around, we were talking about the trailers during the Super Bowl. It's definitely getting a lot of good buzz, and hopefully I don't want to judge it before I see it, because as we've talked about, Fox so brutally destroyed that character last time it was on the screen. And but a lot of promise and a lot of hope that we're going to get the Deadpool we're kind of hoping to. And great story. Another great story that came from that was, I don't know if you guys read it this past week, they were talking about Ben Affleck as Batman, Deadpool, you know, Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. So Ben Affleck wanted to take the Batman suit home, and Warner Brothers said, yeah, that'll be $100,000. Ryan Reynolds wanted to take the Deadpool suit home, and Fox was like, we want Ryan Reynolds to be in character as much as possible, so you have it. So it led to a number of those viral pictures, which then led to the studio saying, hey, let's do some viral videos. Let's do all this kind of stuff. And Fox is, and we've talked about in the past with Prometheus and the X-Men movies and stuff, they're doing great at those non-movie trailer type videos with a lot of their movies, so able to take advantage of that here. And so you definitely, Ryan Reynolds has gotten full effect. Actually, I'm surprised when you talk about that car commercial with all the Ryan Reynolds in there that you didn't get one dressed up as Deadpool.
it certainly helps when Ryan Reynolds, who, you know, is with Blake Lively, like, are just doing things like, hey, we're going to go sit on the Deadpool thing, and she's going to post a picture online about it, and it's going to be a pretty funny picture that, you know, everybody's going to want to look at. Like, it's just so natural for them to be in front of the camera and doing things that people want to watch.
Well, it's funny, too, because when you hear about Hugh Jackman, who is another one who's so perfectly cast as his character, as Wolverine, like, he is Wolverine, hand in hand. Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark. Like, there's no separating those two as like if you like, these are the real life versions of these characters, and they, after a while, are tired of being typecast as it. They want mega money to keep doing it. They're not going to do any of these more movies. This is it. I'm bowing out. And I get that we're not that far into it yet with Deadpool, but Ryan Reynolds is over here saying in interviews, I only want to play Deadpool for the rest of my life. I don't want to be any other character in any other movie. Just Deadpool. That's what he's saying in these interviews.
And it's already leaking that they've greenlit a sequel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, obviously. So it's but it's, you know, he's embracing this full. And like you said, Blake Lively as well, which is a gorgeous couple, by the way. But they, you know, they are definitely embracing this Deadpool thing. And I hope he's got that suit set up on like a mannequin or statue or something in his house somewhere. Hopefully he wears it around when people come knocking at their door or something.
I feel like Deadpool is like a bad influence on him. He's becoming more ornery.
No, he's actually going back. Cause when you think about Ryan Reynolds, early Ryan Reynolds, you know,
yeah, he used two to guys, be one girl,
you go into Van Wilder, Waiting, some of those early movies he did, totally ornery character, totally played that part right. And then he became more of matured a little. Yeah, and exactly. He's reverting back to who we actually love Ryan Reynolds to be. So I'm okay with it.
Well, it just goes to show that he really is that adorable, ornery kid if he loves being Deadpool. Like, who loves being Deadpool but a freaking weirdo?
Everybody loves being Deadpool. I bet he's got Deadpool footy pajamas. I bet he's got a Deadpool onesie. Yeah. In his whole house is Deadpool.
Let's go ask our
I cosplayed at Deadpool as well, and I loved it 100%. It was like the most fun. It was so much fun. and I haven't done it since.
But. Well, I was going to ask, let's go ask our cosplay friend from Ireland, Whittle Wade, who just did Deadpool for the premiere out there just this week. He would be in a Deadpool costume every day if he could. Every once in a while, he'd
Speaking
like
to switch of which, to the Power Ranger one of costume. The best Deadpools there is because, I don't know, sometimes Deadpool cosplayers get a bad rap sometimes. I mean, every time they get a bad rap, they're starting to get
Some
a bad
of them name. Earn that bad rap.
Yeah, because they like think that means they get to be over the top ridiculously annoying. But
yeah, I feel like every convention now should have the sign that says dressing as Deadpool does not equal consent, because Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, be ornery, be Deadpool, but don't be an idiot.
Agreed. Seeing it this opening weekend, is that what you're doing for your special Valentine's Day weekend, guys?
Yes, sir.
They just got a brand new Draft House Theater here in San Francisco, so I think I'm going to have to invest
in that. And it's not only a brand new, like, they restored a historic theater because it was a huge, when Tim Leake went in to get that one, they've owned that property for, like, since they've only had three or four Draft House open for, like, a number of years, and it went through tons of, like, city council meetings and you know, like, a whole bunch of even votes and stuff because they wanted to take this old theater and restore it into it. So definitely check it out and let us know what you think, because it's supposed to be, like, Tim Leake has touted it as probably one of their most beautiful theaters and most historic theaters they have in terms of it. And they have a few. Draft House is great for either building a new, brand new, super nice, like, super, like, progressive theater, or taking an older one, like the one in Kansas City. It was a great one, taking the old Main Street theater, or the one down that they started it in Austin, or the Yonkers location, which Madonna got kicked out of, by the way, but in New York. So, but the San Francisco one's supposed to be like their prize jewel. So definitely, if you check it out, let us know.
That's the plan. So I'm going to try to see it Friday night because I have to fly to Portland on Saturday morning. So I'm going to try and see it Friday night in San Francisco.
Fun stuff. So Tyler's still bragging about being in sunny California.
It definitely snowed in Kansas City yesterday, and it was 75 and sunny here. So
that's all right. It was all you could see was orange and blue here this week in Denver. So it's okay. It was pretty cool.
I'm definitely staying. Like, my cell phone didn't work for a good couple hours on Sunday because I'm definitely the hotel I'm staying in is a good like 3 miles
away. Right. Yeah,
I'm like 3 miles away from the stadium. I saw a lot of Carolina and Broncos fans this week.
I didn't even think about that you were right there. So yeah,
we skipped town most of Saturday and part of Sunday before the game just to try and get away from the crowd. So
cool. So awesome. So everybody else, let us know if you're checking out Deadpool this weekend, and spoiler free, what you think, because some people can't get away immediately to go see it. But we'll do our best to all catch it so we can try to talk about it on next week's episode. One big thing I want to get onto before we start talking about final thoughts and wrapping it up, though, is this is it. This is the last podcast before Project Cosplay happens. And if you haven't listened to us at all, even the episodes I haven't been in, because these guys have done a great job of making sure of it too, Project Cosplay is our own cosplay-only convention. $35 for the weekend in Denver, north side of Denver, February 19th through 21st. $35, unlimited photo shoots, workshops, panels, entertainment. We've got a cash bar Friday night, icebreaker events. Boondocks Fun Center, which is just down the road from the Ramada that it's taken place, has opened up Saturday night to say everybody can come in costume. Photographers are welcome to grab pictures. So costumes on go-karts, laser tag. And laser tag just opened up to two-story laser tag venue too. So pretty exciting stuff going on with this. So Project Cosplay should be well over 100 cosplayers there with a good number of photographers. And you can also check out Denver Westward's going to have an interview regarding that coming up here soon. Maybe by the time this episode airs, we will definitely share it. But exciting event. Most people are excited. I'm getting a little organizing an event, and we're down to our last week here, so it's getting a little crazy for me, but it should be fun. project-cosplay.com, just like Project Nerd, you got to throw that hyphen in there, or you can head on over to Facebook and just hit the Project Cosplay search. We have both a public group where people are organizing shoots, talking about their costumes, working with photographers, as well as we have the page where we're sharing a lot of stuff, even the non-fun stuff. So like the waiver liability gun, you know, weapons and photo requirements and all that stuff. But should be a blast. If you can get to, or you're in the Denver area next weekend, come and check it out. Throw on a costume, go get a store-bought costume, do whatever. It's going to be a blast. And People are going to have so much fun. I'm looking forward to it. We're gonna pretty much be hanging out the whole weekend, and we got some of our great pals coming up. Tyler still might come visit us, and we've got our main man over on Project Nerd Publishing, talent acquisition, Gallo, our security chief is what we'll call him. He's coming in. Great guy, the great team that runs O Comic Con out of Omaha, not only sponsoring the event, but they're going to come out and make sure, you know, certain details that we've never experienced before with this being our first event are covered. So not only do we got you covered, and I'm bragging about the people I get to see, but you can come out and see a lot of other awesome people. Erin Lay, I hear she's going to be there.
You talking about me?
Oh, she had to stop that. She didn't caught her while she was not paying attention. So
I was totally paying attention. I just had to click the button.
She just had to move that one plan into its place before she could continue.
I'm just so excited about Project Cosplay. I'm so excited. I'm going to be dressed in all sorts of amazing costumes that I'm going to reveal there. Two new ones. Maybe three.
Well done, Adam, for the Plants vs. Zombies reference. But
I wasn't playing Plants vs. Zombies.
But for those of you that have been a long time, this is like right now, this is like Arrested Development. If you've paid attention along the whole way, you get those little references. So
I used to play Plants vs. Zombies maybe a little bit sometimes.
Maybe a little bit sometimes?
Maybe.
So anyways.
Those little bit sometimes just happened to always be while we were podcasting.
Just shut up, man. I can't just sit there and not talk about sports for that long, okay?
We're running short on time. This has been a great episode, mainly because we got off track a number of times. That always leads to excitement. So let's wrap this up with some final thoughts. I won't even look at you, Erin. I won't even look at you until you... The only reason Erin's allowed to do a final thought is when she jumps in and interrupts one of us to say, "Ooh, I got one." And then that's when she's allowed to... I won't even call on you. All right.
Don't do it.
Tyler, do you want to kick us off this week? Final thought.
Go pick up Pierce Brown's new book, Morning Star. If you've read Red Rising and Golden Sun, if you haven't, go read Red Rising, then immediately read Golden Sun, then Morning Star. It's the best decision you'll have ever made. What else? Michael Keaton's an American hero, and anyone who says differently can fight me.
I totally agree with you.
All right, Adam.
So Tyler, stead on, read Morningstar, do it. Read the whole trilogy if you haven't. Also this week, Destiny launched a Valentine's Day themed update. So there's a week long event where you can partner in 2-on-2s for online multiplayer. So it's 2v2, and when your partner goes down, you get a buff that makes you reload faster and increases all of your stats, and it's called being heartbroken. So that's fun. If you play Destiny, find a partner, team up with somebody, and have some fun in some 2-on-2 elimination matches.
All right, I'm gonna go, Erin. Unless you're,
it's my turn. Okay. I'm ready.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I got a book recommendation for you all. It's called Static by Eric Laster. He's an amazing author, and the book is probably for 14 and up, but it's really good. I don't say this about too many pieces of media, because it doesn't happen very often, but this book made me sob uncontrollably. It was super emotional, but not in a sentimental way, in a really good way, just an amazing book. So you should read it. It's really good. It's available for pre-order on Amazon right now. It's called Static.
Cool. And Erin, you're going to have a review for that, right?
Yeah, the review for that should be, I've written it and I haven't.
Did you finish it?
I did. I technically didn't. It's not revised. If it's not revised, then I guess it's not finished. But I'll have that to you soon, listeners. So look for that review on Static so you can get a little bit more information on Project Nerd.
Awesome. So my closing thought is over on projectnerd.com. We're doing, as we mentioned last week, a lot of content around Black History Month. And one thing is we brought him up before, Matt, who is one of our comic book writers, is doing a fantastic series called 29 Days of Power. Every Monday and Friday, he's outlining a number of characters to where your actual total for the month will be 29. So the equivalent of one character per day would just be a lot of posts to do it daily. So stacking him up to a couple posts a week. But pretty cool. He's outlining a number of characters, some characters that aren't as well known, as well as the ones that are typically known. And it's been really awesome to see the reaction that's been happening on social media from some of the creators of those characters. So they've been really receptive to the series, which makes it just that much more heartwarming and cool to see it. Additionally, of course, we have other content coming up. We saw it's Shaft was released by Dark Horse. I hope I'm saying it right. So sorry if I got the wrong publisher on there, but the new Shaft series started. We got that review up. Looks to be super promising. I haven't taken a look at it yet, but very high remarks on it from one of our new reviewers who's pretty solid in writing there. So thanks, Pat, for covering that. And then, of course, a number of other studios and publishers releasing content related to the month as well that we've been able to cover, including an old school exploitation film, Honky Holocaust, that Brandon already reviewed, and then a couple of interviews and reviews coming up. And then, of course, it continues into March for we're going to do a lot of the same thing for Women's History Month. So I'm pretty excited about that as well. So check out that themed content over the next 2 months. Really give us your feedback. Tell us what you think. And of course, 29 characters. There's a lot more characters than that. So feel free to jump in on those comments, point out some other characters that you love to check out that are great, that fit with the themed content and have either, you know, played an influence on what you're reading or your life or however you want to put it, or you just enjoy, you know, whatever reason it is. But like I said, a lot of cool content we've been producing this month on top of our normal content, which I am going to give you a good shout out here, Aaron. Other podcasts, we have, of course, Sexy Nerd Science, Optimistic Gamers, and we will be starting another one soon. But as of right now, to Modern Sex.
Modern Sex, what's that? Great. What?
I will point out that we now have two podcasts that have considerable amount of listeners. So congratulations to Modern Sex for being Project Nerd's, shall we say, queen, not king of the podcast for January, as it surpassed the Nerdcast and listeners for the month.
Yeah, so, I meant to brag about that earlier. Can I just brag?
No, you can't.
Can I just say how much better at podcasting I am than you guys?
You had your chance.
I muted her mid-sentence.
You had your chance in your final thoughts.
You do not mute me.
Anyways, really interesting content this past week. Joe Pride, a fellow cosplay friend of ours, was on there with Aaron, and they talked about Valentine's Day. Great perspective to see for him, who he is openly gay, and talk about what it meant for the things that you do in high school and the holiday. And Aaron was very opinionated about the holiday. I edited the episode, so I got to hear about it.
Was I really?
Yeah, you were super opinionated. You told people they could pretty much go F off if they they love the holiday that much. So,
well, I mean, whatever. Everybody has their own thing.
They can listen to Modern Sex to find out more. Aaron's more level and pleasing of all the fans on the Nerdcast. But if you want to hear the Aaron that don't give a, she's over on Modern Sex. But
did I say a lot of F-bombs? Because I like to say a lot of F-bombs.
You did, because that one's uncensored. But anyways,
uncensored.
We do have four great podcasts and wanted to point that out, that the other ones are picking up a lot of steam. So we definitely encourage to check those out as well. But definitely tell your friends to check out this one too. We're hoping now that we're back in the swing of things after being gone for the holidays, we get all you lovely listeners back. So we will catch you next week for episode 112. We will also be at Project Cosplay in Denver. So again, come check us out, meet us there. And I think as of right now, we're planning to do a live episode if enough of us are there. And then of course, check it out as we're about to hit the road, and that's where you get to see us all over the place, from Chicago, Kansas City, Denver, Omaha, Kansas City, to Colorado Springs, Atlanta, New York, Seattle. A lot of great shows. Go check it out over at our Project Nerd Tour page. But other than that, this is a wrap for episode 111. Same nerd time, same nerd channel. Catch you next week.
Bye.